Psalm 59, verses 1 through 10, these are God's words. To the chief musician, set to do not destroy a miktam of David, when Saul sent men, and they watched the house in order to kill him. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me. Not for my transgression or for my sin, O Yahweh, they run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold, you therefore, O Yahweh, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors. At evening they return, they growl like a dog and go all round the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? But you, O Yahweh, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait for you, O you, His strength, for God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Sometimes the wicked think themselves pretty big and strong and unopposable. These certainly do. The belching in verse 7 is maybe a burp, like we talk about belching, but more like just the kind of speech that you pour out and you feel completely unaccountable and brash and bold. Or hopefully not you, that the wicked pours out like that. For they say in verse 7, who hears? But David, in the midst of his trouble, and it is real trouble, in the midst of his trouble, he is able to zoom out, and the bad guys, the wicked men, who look pretty big in his situation, if you keep zooming out, they keep getting smaller and smaller. Do you know who never gets smaller, no matter how far you zoom out? God. God doesn't just have this tiny little peon of a man who thinks he's so big, but you know, the animated voice for him when you zoom out would start to become like this. He's a tiny little nothing compared to the living God. So he zooms out in space and he zooms out in time. He remembers the day of judgment when God will punish all of the nations. When, as the end of verse 10 says, God shall let him look on his enemies. And you know, our translators have added, see my desire. But the idea is, they are watching his house to kill him now, while he's going to watch them or look upon them later. And the tables will have been completely turned. Now, that doesn't mean that David's trouble isn't real and his distress isn't great. It is. I mean, the psalm begins with four urgent cries. Deliver me, defend me, deliver me, save me. And it doesn't mean that the evil of the wicked isn't real either. It is. The four cries are matched with four descriptions of those from whom he needs to be delivered. His enemies who rise up against him, workers of iniquity, bloodthirsty men. Those things are real. But the point is, so is God. And so is the infinite difference between the strength and success of God and the impotence and failure of the wicked. And so God does laugh and hold them in derision. What we must do, therefore, is not make the same mistake the wicked do. However distressful our situation, however wicked they are, We must not make the mistake of thinking that no one hears, or thinking that they are so powerful that they cannot be overcome or stopped. No, the wicked are running and preparing themselves, verse 4. But they are not the ones who ultimately arrive, whatever they are able to do in the meantime. Verse 10, my God of mercy, my God of steadfast love, my God of covenant love, shall come to meet me, for he is my defense. The danger is real, but God is real, and the judgment is real. And even though the judgment isn't yet, God is with us and observing and laughing at them. And so, him our strength. Oh, that's, I didn't see it here. Good thing I checked the book. In the Hebrew, it's God my strength, God my defense, God my mercy, or God my steadfast love, in verse 9 and the first half of verse 10. So our strength and defense and mercy are real, because they're not just things that God provides for us. They are things that God is for us. He is our defense. He is our covenant love. He is our strength. And he has given himself to be those things. We know much more, in much more detail now, in Christ, who has poured out his Spirit. And so he is ours in his Son, and he is ours in his Spirit, who applies his Son to us and ministers our knowledge of the Father and of the Son. We have not been left as orphans, but by the Spirit, the Father and the Son have come and made their home with us. So, your troubles are real. Often they're smaller than you think they are. David's were pretty big, comparatively. But when we tell you to trust in the Lord, to remember him, to remember how things end, we're not saying that we think your troubles are small. They might be. What we're saying is, however big they are, if God himself is your strength and your defense and your mercy, then your strength, defense, and mercy are real, and they are sure. And you need to remember them, lest you make the same mistake that these arrogant belchers do in verse 7. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which takes the moments and troubles, problems of our lives, and puts them in the context of all of creation and all of time, and even puts them in context of you, who are outside and above and greater than all of creation and all of time. Help us, O Lord, to be remembering of you, and to know that you are remembering of us. Stir up our faith towards you, to know our fellowship with you, and how you have made yourself ours. Make us to know you as our strength. Make us to know you as our defense, that we would fear nothing. Make us to know you as our mercy, that we would have the sweetness of that mercy in every difficult situation. For we ask it in the name in which you have made yourself all these things to us, even the name of Jesus. Amen.